As part of our discussion about Shvius on a practical level, let's talk about gardening, about taking care of a gina. I have here this Sefer Dinei Shvi'it, and by introduction to his section, which is called Hatipul HaShotef Beginot Noi, we go back to discuss the difference between Melachos Doraisa and Melachos Derabbanan in Shvius. Melachos Doraisa include Charisha, Zriya, Zmira, Ktsira, and Betsira, which basically includes plowing, planting, pruning, and different forms of harvesting. These are all prohibited on Shvius, period. Chok v'lo yavr, without exception. With regard to Derabbanans that are not included in those five, we have something called Li'ukmei. Li'ukmei means that if you're protecting them from dying, they were those plants, then they were matir the Iser Derabbanan. So for example, we have a case called Anaf Shenistak, which is a branch that was split, and you want to support it in such a way that it won't continue to split. You're not bringing it back to its original situation, because that would be like producing, but rather you're bringing it to a situation where you can maintain its existence so that it doesn't die. And that will be able to be matir when it comes to Derabbanans. Melachos Doraisa Asuros Afilu Mokum Hefset Masha'enkin Melachos Derabbanan. In a case of great financial loss, they were matir isurim derabbanan. So for example, hashka, which means irrigation, will be okay during Shvius if you're trying to save yourself from a hefseid mom. Okay? We can also talk about things like zibul, which means lezabel, means to fertilize the ground so that it doesn't spoil. We can talk about other malachas derabbanan, and these are going to be okay for malachas derabbanan. Now, tipul shotef beginot noi. Let's go through the Hebrew, and then we'll try to summarize it in English. Kol ha-melachot ha-surot b'shnat ha-shmita min ha-Torah. The Doraisa says, ha-suros afil meimbos la-hatzil as-ha-eitz o as-ha-peros. So, as we said before, when it comes to melachos Doraisa, the five categories we mentioned, there's no heter whatsoever. But melachos Derabbanan, if it's only Derabbanan, then you're allowed, in order to prevent the growth from dying, the produce from dying. Therefore, mutar lahashkos rak kedei limnoa nezek nikar litzmochim, and we'll explain this in a few minutes. Lachen yesh litzamtzem es tedirus hashka ulahagdil es hefreshe zman bein hashka'a lahashka'a. Ba'onas hagshamim kishekamut hagshamim aspika ein lahashkos klal. Yesh omrim shebeofen hamutal lahashkos odiv shashka tevutz al yidei mamtera v'lo biyad hol vashka'a biyad chamura yoter kechol shoset hamalacha b'chol rega urega. Kishoshotfim ritzafot bebayit o bemerpeset me'al legina yesh lizeher lechatchila shelo yishofchu mayim lagina kidei shelo ligrom lahashka'a miuteret. ובפרט כשנהנה מהשקעה זו. אם המים מעורבים עם חומרי ניקוי בכמות המזיקה ומפסידה לצמחים, אין להקפיד על זרימתם דרך המרזב לגינה. So let's take a break now in reading the Hebrew text. We'll come back in Yirtz Shem and read it. You have a copy of it. And we'll summarize what we have, some of the main points in English. And first, by way of introduction, let's just point out that for most of us, the laws of Shemitah in terms of working the land and not working the land are pretty much theoretical. However, if one has a garden, this becomes one practical application of all these theoretical laws. In your garden, you have to remember that your work in the garden must be kept to a bare minimum, only what's absolutely necessary to save the produce. So what we have to realize is that our gardens during the Shemitah year here in Eretz Yisrael would not look like they look the rest of the 6 years, the balance of the 6 years. We realize that we're not going to be able to take care of our garden in the most beautiful way as we like to, but consider this as the opportunity to fulfill the laws of Shvius and to make a Kiddush Hashem when passers by see that his garden is now run down. They automatically realize that he's observing Shvius. Okay, let's talk about watering. That was the first thing we discussed in the Hebrew text of Dinei Shviit. And we're not allowed to water the garden as often as we do in a regular year. We have to permit watering only to prevent the produce from dying, whether it's the trees, the plants, the grass, the fruits, whatever it might be. So to prevent what we call significant deterioration, that's when we're going to allow watering the garden. Now, the garden should not be watered during the winter, because there's enough rain, as a general rule, coming down during the winter. During the summer, when the plants seem to be very thirsty, the leaves are curling up, when the color is different, it becomes dull, it's no longer green. Once we recognize these signs, we're allowed to water the plants. Now, what should be our preferred method of watering the plants? Should we use what's called an irrigation system, a drip irrigation system, which is automated? And the truth is that that would seriously reduce the violation of Shvius. If you have some automatic sprinkler or we'll call it an irrigation system, and in such a case, once again, we're not going to water the garden as frequently as we should. It'll only be permitted on a limited level. But nevertheless, we can be more makil with regard to an automatic irrigation system. And not only that, we'll soon see in the poskim that you're even permitted on Shvius to create such an irrigation system if it doesn't already exist. Again, there's going to be an issue about digging down into the ground in order to lay the pipes for this irrigation system, because we don't do digging in the ground. That's already Harisha. But we'll see that if we do it in a way that is clear to everyone that we're not digging in order to plant, which is Harisha, but rather we're digging in order to put the pipes in for the irrigation system, and if we do it with a shinui, and Mirz Hashem will try to get back to that a little bit later. Now, another thing that we read in the Hebrew text is, what about water that you're sort of pushing off your merpeset and it could go down onto the plants? So as a general rule, this should be avoided. And it's a kind of a grumma, but nevertheless it should be avoided, because you are watering the plants. If the plants need watering in any event, so that's not a problem. But on those situations where the plants are well watered, then we should try to avoid doing such a thing. And issue is only when you push the water over the ledge directly onto plants. If there are plants that are in proximity and they'll benefit, that's already considered like a Dover Shein Miskaven. That's already a grumma de grumma, and therefore it's mutter. So now let's go back to the Hebrew text, and we'll get a little bit into this discussion here. We have more or less the framework, the general rules. We spoke about when the water goes out, and we want to make sure that we're not pushing the water onto the plants, because that would be unnecessary irrigation or watering of the plants. We also mentioned in the Hebrew text that if you mix with the water various chemicals or cleaning agents that would not be beneficial at all to the growth of the tzmachim, then you don't have to worry about that at all. You can push as much of that water, that sponge water that's mixed with soap, as you want off the roof. Now, as far as washing your hands in your garden, let's say you want to eat out in the garden, that's a problem because as you wash your hands, the water presumably is going directly onto the grass or onto the tzmachim, that which is growing. That's a problem. And it becomes a special problem if it helps the tzmachim grow. Then he says, Asur l'nakesh asavim b'shviit. Now we're talking about nikush. Nikush means to pull out the weeds. However, he says, B'mokom sheminiyas ha-nikush yigorim nezek nikar l'tzmachim. For example, he says, if you have asavim shechonkim es ha-tzemach, you have certain growths, we'll call them weeds or different kinds of things that actually strangle the tzemach, that which is growing. Mutol l'kaseach, you're allowed to cut down these asovim. And if kisuach, if cutting them down is not enough to prevent the nezek, mutol li'okram biyad, you're allowed to rip them out by hand. If that's impossible, mutol li'okram gam v'mader, you can even use a special utensil that's made for removing these weeds. So the general rule, again, as we saw over and over again, is to try to limit the amount of malacha. And if you have to do these malachos, they're only drabbanans, you can do them in an unusual way, infrequently. Make sure it's clear that you're not doing it in order to improve the growth of the garden. Bechatzerot saviv habatim shemenakshim bahem et ha-saviv midei pam bechashash l'sreifa l'nechashim mutal l'necheish b'shmita. You have cases where these kind of grassy areas and these asavim that have to be removed are removed not for purposes of protecting the produce that's growing in the garden, but rather to because there's fears of fire spreading or it attracts, you know, and it hides various serpents and snakes. So in those cases you're allowed to be menakesh in Shemitah. Again, make sure that what you have in mind is to do the limited amount that's necessary to protect the safety, but not for the toelas, not to actively improve that which is growing. Zibul, which means, as we said before, fertilizing. B'shnas ha-shmita mutar. But rak b'mokom shim lo yasas os yigarim nezek nikar. Again, the same rule. We're talking about a malacha to Rabbanan called zibul, and we're allowing it in order to prevent nezek. It's only sur meira. It's only because there's a potential damage. Mibchina ma'asit efshal vater b'derech kal zibul b'shnat ha-shmita l'vatzeh pula zu b'erev shvi'it. Generally speaking, you can do one act, one clearance of fertilizer before you enter into Shemitah. There's no need to fertilize it on a regular basis. Okay. Now, we spoke about hoeing, which is idur, and hoeing is a category of harisha, and therefore it's absolutely forbidden during Shvius. However, if you're doing the idur, the hoeing, around the growth, not directly, so then b'mokom hefsed, it's allowed. And in terms of desha, which means like mowing a lawn, he says beginot noi mevatzim kisuach desha shtei matavot lamatarat hashpacha v'chein l'shem noi. So these are two categories. He says la'alocha im matarat hakisuach l'shem hashpacha asur l'kasech avam rotzel l'kasech l'desha shem noi b'mokom shenira l'kol ki matarato l'noi bilvad. He's mowing the lawn because he wants to beautify the grass. That's a more complicated issue. Fine. Asur l'gzom vradim v'shoshanim v'shvid. We had a long discussion about this in terms of roses and other sweet-smelling, fragrant flowers that grow. We said that if it's done, if the flowers are grown for the sake of fragrance, that makes it shvius, and you have all these restrictions. If it's not, if it's grown because it beautifies the house, then that's a different story. Then it doesn't have kedusha shvius. Ktifat prachim b'shviit. What about cutting down flowers in shviit? And here again, we're going to come back to the same principle. It's sort of kishut. If it's done to beautify the house, muteret, you're allowed to do such a thing, even though inadvertently it might cause some additional growth. But obviously, if you're doing it for the purpose of smelling, of adding a fragrance, that's prohibited because then it has kedusha shviis. Gizum goder chaya mevutza l'shtei matarot lematarat hashpacha lemalei et atzemach al yidei ribuy anafim u'l'shem noy l'shmor al tzurato hana'a hagizum b'shviit asur imu ba lematarat hashpacha. So we're talking about cutting down parts of the growth. Like, for example, there are sichin, there are shrubs that are growing, and they also serve as a sort of gader. And you want to hedge, you want to flatten them out. You know, there are hedges that you want to straighten out. So sometimes you do it in order that the tzemach should grow even better, because it'll improve the growth. And sometimes you're doing it just to make sure that it maintains its beauty. And if it's the latter, then it's okay. As long as it's not done to improve its growth, which is hashpacha, it's okay because we're not dealing with the malacha doraisa. Gizum is not a malacha doraisa. Now, he says the following. Asur l'tmoch o l'kshar eitz o tzema kadeshi yigdal l'kivun mesuyam v'biniyat malacha zu yigreim nezek nikar l'tzemach ol eitz mutar. So if you want to support a tree, and if you're doing it in order that the tree should grow in a certain way, that's prohibited. But if you're doing it because if you don't do it, there'll be a very substantial damage to the tree or to the branch on the tree, then it's permissible. And here we have one opinion in the poskim who maintains that nezek zmani b'tzimchei noy eino nechlal eino bechlal nezek nikar v'yefshal atir. For example, asur losif ulashkot bichdei shadeshalo yaabed mitzivo hayarok afilu miktzat im nezek zenitan l'tikun achar shmita. You have a situation where whatever you want to fix up or whatever damages you're preventing, that could be achieved after shmita in the eighth year. And according to these poskim, even though you'll accomplish a great deal if you do it now during Shviit, nevertheless, it's prohibited. That's according to this opinion. And that's called, you know, Nezek Zmani as opposed to Nezek Miadi. Nezek Zmani means you're only dealing with this on a temporary basis. But really, in the long run, you're not really preventing or saving the tzemach. That's a problem. And then he quotes a number of poskim who say that the mitzvah of Vishav Saaretz is imposed not only on someone who does the malacha himself, but even if another Jew does it, or even if a guy does it for him. That also is a violation of the mitzvah of Vishav Saaretz on the part of the owner of the field. Again, in a case of absolute necessity, and in order to save the growth from dying, it would be better if a guy would do it than if a Jew would do it. Now he says that somebody who lives in a bayit mishutaf, vagina mishutaf l'chol dayarei binyan, v'yeshnam dayarim she'nam shomrei shviit, alav lishtadel b'darkei norm l'shachnei et hadayarim shelo yeyasu. So you have a common building, an apartment building, and it has its common garden, and the other neighbors that share that building with you, and therefore that garden with you, are not Shomrei Shviyas. They're not careful about the laws of Shviyas, unfortunately. So you should try as much as you can to convince them that there should be no work done in the garden. But if they insist, then you're not allowed to asur lo lishtalem lishtatev b'tashlum hotzat ha'tipul b'gina. You cannot contribute money for the sake of tipul b'gina, of beautifying the garden and doing these works during Shviyas. Bishum sha'asul l'sayeh b'dei avera. You're not allowed to help someone who's doing an avera. Afilu im al yidei itashlum. Yom l'mishpat. What happens if he doesn't chip in, if he doesn't pay his share in this, call it a building tax, an arnona of sorts, he's going to be taken to judgment, to a court, he's going to be sued in court. Yesha shalem chalko, in this case, he should chip in, because he doesn't have to go to court over this. And what she'd have in mind is, I'm paying this like a tax, you know, the different taxes that cover different expenditures of the municipality, or in this case of the Dairea Binyan, for the Binyan. And therefore, I'm not paying for the garden. My money is going for some other, you know, electricity to keep the lights in the hall on, and so forth and so on. He should emphasize to his neighbors that I'm chipping in as I have to, but my money is being given to pay for the cleaning of the building, for those services that are being offered that are permissible on Shviyas. I'm not willing to spend my money and use my money to violate Shviyas. Now, if the neighbors are absolutely opposed, they're anti, you know, they refuse to play ball with you and to be noy kalocha, and they violate malachas doraisa, then there's one opinion that he has to take three people and make a statement, a declaration in front of them that I'm being mafkir myself from this gina. I no longer own any part or any partnership in this garden. It doesn't matter. These three people don't have to be friends, or they can be your own family members. This is only if they're going full blast to work in the garden and they're doing malachas doraisa. You know, they're doing the planting and the harvesting, the whole nine yards. But if they're only violating drabbanon, again, it's hard to imagine such a thing. But let's say for that year of Shemitah, they happen to be only involved in irrigation, then you don't have to be mafkir your chelik and remove yourself from the shutfus. Let's summarize some of this in English so we have a good picture of what's going on. Okay, with regard to watering, we said watering a lawn, most people just generally, you know, pour so much water on their lawn, it's more than what they need. They want to grow the grass to grow thick, and so on and so on. But Shemitah, we're going to reduce it to the barest minimum. Nothing in the winter, in the summer, whatever is sufficient to keep the lawn going under normal conditions, probably to water it once a month. And therefore, whenever you use water in your garden during the course of Shviyas, you should limit the quantity of water. Limit not only the frequency of watering the trees and the plants, but you have to minimize also the quantity of water, the amount of water that you're going to be using. And you may want to consult with a professional and figure out what you have to do. Now, what else can we say here? We spoke about irrigation ditches and irrigation systems and digging those ditches even during the course of Shviyas. We spoke about pushing water from a porch into a garden. If it goes to a neighbor's garden, that's already Malach Shein Tzricha Lagufa. In other words, it's not something that you need even though your neighbor's trees, your neighbor's plants are improved, that's not relevant to you. If it goes into your own garden, then it's not a block shen tzuch legufa, but it would be permitted if it goes into a garden with a distance. It's not proximate to any trees or plants to that particular tree. Okay. Now, if you hire a cleaning woman and she pushes water from your porch out to the garden, that's permissible. You don't have to worry about that. If water spills out to a porch, out into a porch, and then from the porch it goes into a garden, that's okay. That was the Grumman case that we discussed before. In terms of children, you know, we put pools out on lawns and inevitably the water splashes, but that's also unintentional. It's a malach shen tzuch legufa, dovah shen miskaven, it's mutter. Now, some people to this day, and I see it all over Yerushalayim, they take their laundry, it's dripping wet, and they hang it over the garden. This too is inadvertent, it's not deliberate, and therefore it's mutter. Okay, what can you do to the trees and the tzmachim that are actually growing in your garden during the course of Shemitah? Pruning, trimming in general is usur. As we said, those are malachas d'oraisa of Zomer. Removing leaves or flowers that are already fading. So on the one hand, we would say that that's not really gidul. That's not for the sake of tzmicha. But nevertheless, those are the actions that are done in order to increase the productivity of that plant, and therefore it's also on Shvius. But if the branches of a tree or hedges are absolutely blocking his path, meaning the branches are so thick and so low that you can't walk through your garden, then you're allowed to cut them off and clear the way. And again, it's got to be done in such a way that people will realize that you're not doing this because you want to encourage the productivity of the tree, but rather you're doing it simply because it's an absolute a nuisance, I would say, because you can't get a clear path. So you're allowed to cut branches in order to get a clear path. And what about schach? I mean, in the next 5 days, we're going to have to cut branches off of trees for schach. So that's okay. The only thing is, cutting the trees should be done again in some unusual way. And, for example, you know, you cut the branch at a distance from the trunk, or you cut one side of the tree, there are different shinuyim. That's something that you have to confer with a professional on. And once again, the same principle applies if you have a tree and the branches are hanging over the sukkah and you can't sit in the sukkah, you got to get rid of the tree. I should say the branches of the tree, then you're allowed to cut that down, but only as much as necessary. What's ever hanging over the sukkah, you know, it should be done by a professional gardener because he does it in an unusual way because it's Shvius. He may cut the branch some distance from the trunk. He'll decide exactly what's considered a shinui for purposes of Shvius. In terms of gardens, let's say leaves and branches and so forth that stick out, they block a path, that's permitted. If the hedge is overgrown, then it really depends on why you're trimming down these hedges. If you want to make it noy, a beautiful appearance, then it's okay. But it says in the poskim, and again, you'll need some, if you don't know enough about hedges, like I don't, you'll need some professional guidance here, but there's something called a thin hedge. A thin hedge, when you trim it, even for the sake of noy, of improving its appearance, nevertheless, it's asur, because taking down these thin parts of the hedge is going to inevitably improve the quality of the hedge. And that is itself a violation of Shvi'is. As far as mowing your lawns are concerned in Shvi'is, if you're talking about long grass and there might be snakes around, if you're talking about improving the general appearance because the grass is too thick, if you're talking about mowing it down simply to improve the appearance and the grass is thin, then you have a problem. Only in the third case. So in all cases, I think we could be makil. You're cutting down long grass and you're trying to improve the appearance of the leaves. I'm sorry, of the grass. That's okay. The real issue is when the grass is very thin and it becomes absolutely parallel to the case of the hedges that are thin, because by cutting these down, you will inevitably improve the productivity here of the ground. You know, the ground is now going to produce grass at a very fast pace. Now, whenever you mow the lawn, the mower should be adjusted to cut the grass higher than usual. Again, that's all part of the din of a shinui. In terms of cutting flowers in order to put them down in a vase, well, you're allowed to do that, as we say, because you're not trying to encourage new growth, and that's mutter. Now, what about cleaning out your garden? I mean, the stuff that's simply garbage that fell down. So the answer is that you're allowed to do under all circumstances. Garbage should be gathered. You can even use some tools that are not professional gardening tools, you know. Obviously, collecting it by hand, or use a broom, use a stick. All these types of cases are okay to remove the garbage from the garden. If you could somehow, if you could vacuum the garden, I don't know if there's such a thing, then that would be okay. And you could get rid of fallen leaves from the garden. Now, the question is spraying your garden with insecticide. And this is mutter because the plants are being attacked and they may die. So you're allowed to spray fruit trees, you're allowed to kill pests in order to maintain the productivity and the life of these fruits and plants that may be sprayed. What about removing weeds? That's what we discussed at the end here, if you recall, about being menakesh. And once again, we're going to repeat what we said before. If the plants and the weeds are the thorns that are strangling them to the extent they may die or permanently damage, then you're allowed to remove these weeds. If there are plants nearby and the weeds are not harming them, or let's say there are no plants in the area whatsoever, then one has to deal with the weeds to make the garden look tidy. That's okay. But it has to be done in a way that's goli lakol, that it's absolutely nikar. The onlooker would not suspect a person that his intention is to prepare the ground for planting. Fine. Now, I want to discuss with you the issue of flower pots. And here in Dinei Shvi'it Perek, Yudbet Atzitzim Ubayit. So the Torah says, V'shav sa'aret Shabbos Lashem, Sodchalo Tizra. Yushalmi has a suffix at the beginning of the Sefer Orla, Imbayis, Yeshbo Dinei Shvi'is. Meaning the Torah says, don't plant your field. But it doesn't say, don't plant your bayis. And bayis is not included in field. Or should we say that even in bayis, there are Dinei Shvi'is that apply? Because the Torah says, V'shav sa'aret Shabbos Lashem, V'hoysa Shabbos Aretz. And bayis is included in the word Aretz. If that be the case, then we're left with a suffix as to whether or not we can take care of anything growing within our house. You have, on the one hand, the pasuk says, sadcha, it doesn't say beischa, but on the other hand, the pasuk repeats itself when it says, the extra v'hoisa Shabbos aretz, and the word aretz might include bias as well. So this becomes one of those real snags, a real suffix. And the Yerushalmi itself raises this suffix but gives no answer, no final resolution. And therefore, some of the poskim say we could be mekil. The Chazon Ish wants to be machmir. And he holds, therefore, you're not allowed to plant anything inside the house. But what about atzitzim? What about the flower pots? So first we'll talk about nikuvim, those that have a hole on the bottom. They have a din of karka for all dinei shvius. So you're not allowed to plant in a flower pot if that flower pot has holes and it's on the ground. We'll have to see what happens if these flower pots are in your apartment but on a higher floor. He writes, "Batzitzin she'enam nekuvim." Till now we've been talking about flower pots that have holes on the bottom. If they don't have holes, is done on poskim b'klal isrei shvius. In other words, it could be that since the otzis is eno nakuv and it sits on the ground, it's as if it's attached to the ground. And therefore all malachas are prohibited. In fact, even the rabbanans will be prohibited in this case. But let's try to review what we said and see if we can move further. There are two categories of flower pots. There's otzis nakuv, and otzitz nakuv is considered karka. And all the dini shvius, all the sir shvius of planting, etc., etc., apply to an otzitz nakuv. If it's an otzitz she'eno nakuv, so we're going to be making. Why are we going to make all the poskim that are makil rely on the fact that since it's not akuv, it's nakuv, excuse me, it's not really sustained by the ground, and therefore it's not growing based on the ground, and it's not shvius. Those who are machmir would say, even though it's eino nakuv, nevertheless it's sitting on the ground and somehow it's able to absorb through the otzitz the nutrients of the ground, and that's what's going to feed and bring about the survival of anything that's in the otzitz. So that's called an otzitz sheino nakuv. Otzitz nakuv again, kuliyam lo pligi is osur. Otzitz sheino nakuv is machlokes. And the question is, if you have a machlokes, whether there's an Isur Shvius and an Otzitz Sheino Nakuv, how do you paskin on such a thing? And many of the poskim write that we should be machmir. And although we're not dealing with the Doraisa in the case of Otzitz Sheino Nakuv, there's plenty of room to say Mirabonin it's Osur and has the same status as an Otzitz Nakuv. However, this otzitz sheino nakuv that we've been discussing, where is it? We're telling you not to do malachos in an otzitz sheino nakuv. Is that really so? Where is this otzitz sheino nakuv located? For example, supposing it's located inside the house. Now we have two factors which both point to be lenient. Number one, you've got an otzitz sheino nakuv, and on top of that, it's in the bayis. And you remember we had a special limud, and Yerushalmi is big on this, that since it says sadcha lo tizra kalayim, the emphasis, or sadcha lo tizra in the case of shvisa, I shouldn't, on the seventh year, I should have mentioned that. So Yerushalmi is ending up with a safek with regard to bias, that it could be that sadcha lo tizra is an emphasis on sadcha to lafuki to exclude bias. On top of that, it's an otz sheinu nakuv, so we have A and B. You know, Zevazeh Garim Lekula, so the Chazon Ish himself said, even though he was of the opinion that Otzitz Sheino Nakuv is a real, real serious problem, it's Osur B'Shvius, but here he's going to be Mekil, and he writes, Yesh Al Mi Lismach. Okay. Now let's just see what we know about Otzitz, and we'll give sort of a little bit of a general overview. If the otzitz is indoors, then it's a complicated business. We're going to have to ask 1,001 questions. If the otzitz is outdoors, then clearly it's Shemitah, and all the laws of Shemitah apply. There's nothing to talk about. What happens though if the otzitz is indoors? It's in the house. And here, as I said, it's a more complicated question, because we're not so sure about the suffix of Yushalvi, that since it's in the bias, therefore it's not subject to the law of Shvius. Even the Yushalvi itself is mistopic, doesn't know. So therefore, Lamaisa, what we're going to do with the case of an otzitz, let's say otzitz in general, and then we can talk specifically about an otzitz nakuv versus an otzitz sheina nakuv. Generally speaking, the rule is that on Shemitah, if you have plants that are growing inside a flower pot, the flower pot is on the outside of your house, then you're not allowed to do all the five malachas d'oraisa. Can you add fertilizer? Okay, that's a different question. If the plant's going to die without the fertilizer, you might be able to offer it some fertilizer. Now, what about watering? Are we allowed to water an otzitz nakuv? Watering is permitted as much as is necessary for its survival. So this is something that we've seen with regard to gardening, and we're seeing it here with regard to flower plants, that you're allowed to water them in order to prevent death. Like, for example, the soil in the pot is so dry that everything's going to die. So then you're allowed to water it. We discussed the case of various porches and balconies and so forth in the earlier discussion about when it's considered a violation of Shvius Derabbanan, because your water is going into the garden. And now we want to discuss the same kind of issue with regard to an otzitz. So first of all, we have to point out that there's a difference between an otzitz that's getting direct sunlight, even if it's indoors, it has the halacha of outdoors, and since it's getting light from the sky, it's as if it's out there, it's not in here where it is. And then we can talk about the case of roofed balcony, where there's a roof that separates the otzitz from the sun, from the sky. That, according to the poskim, is considered indoors, even though lamaisa it's outdoors, but it's not under the sun. It's under a roof that's overhanging. Fine. What else did we want to discuss? Okay, we can talk about windowsills. An outside windowsill is, if it's enclosed with a railing, it's considered indoors. If there's no railing, it's kind of complicated. And what about an indoor pot? So as far as an otzitz that's outdoors, we discussed, or even if it's on a balcony, but the sunlight is directly upon it, that we discussed. In the case of an indoor flower pot, so it really depends upon whether there's any nourishment coming from the ground. And the flower pot is considered an otzitz nakuv, and the laws of Shemitah will apply even if the plant is indoors. But there are many factors here that go into this. You know, it depends what story in the building it is. If it's on a lower floor, then even though it's indoors, since it's nakuv, it has the din of shvius, because we assume that it's deriving nourishment from the ground. Then we have another issue about what kind of material the flower pot is made of, and that'll also reflect on whether or not water is absorbed from the ground. And also, if you have an otzitz nakuv, and you put a plate or any sort of object underneath the flower pot, then in such a case, you have a disconnect from the sun, and therefore it's mutter. So again, let's talk about an indoor plant that cannot derive any nourishment from the ground. So that's called an otzit she'eno nakuv. And for sure, anything that is necessary to maintain the existence of the flower pot is mutter. But to plant new seeds, that's more complicated. We really want to avoid doing any planting in a flower pot, even if it's an otzit she'eno nakuv, and for that matter, even if it's indoors. Now, we said there's a relevancy of the fact of what story of the building you're in. Okay, so you're talking about an indoor flower pot. It's an otzit nakuv, so you have a real serious problem. And if it's on the ground floor, even though this otzit nakuv is inside the house, the laws of Shemitah apply. Now, if this flower pot is on an upper floor, then we assume it's not deriving nourishment from the earth. And here we're going to have a number of different poskim with different opinions, whether it's considered like an otzit she'eno nakuv, and therefore there's no din of Kedusha Shvius. Others might say that it's perforated, and therefore it's an otzit nakuv. So we don't know the status of an otzitz that's on a higher floor, on the upper floor. We know there's room to be makel in general, but we don't have all the details here. Fine, there are other issues about a building that's raised on pillars, what we call amudim. We're talking about a flower pot with one hole as opposed to perforated throughout the bottom of the flower pot. We're talking about the different kinds of plants. These are all issues with regard to otzitz. So let's just give the overview here from Dinei Shviyit, and then we'll call it the end of the Shia. Also, you're not allowed to plant anything in an otzitz, in a flower pot, during the year of Shvius. And we're talking about even an otzit she'eno nakuv. So planting in a flower pot is out. However, gidulin batzitzim she'enam nakuvim af shomdim basada ein lem isur sfichim v'yesh over af batzitzim nakuvim isur nechal. So if it's an otzit she'eno nakuv, even if it's outside in your field, then it's okay. If it's inside, if it's an otzitz nakuv and it's omdim basada, that's going to be a plukta, that's going to be an issue. And your ongoing, care and taking care of what's going on with those things that are growing in an otzitz is very similar to what we said about taking care of your own garden. And it depends if you're doing it in order to keep it alive, or you're doing it in order to gidul, to improve its gidul and its smicha. That you're not allowed to do. Now, to plant, or even to take a plant and put it in the ground, even if it's inside your house, is going to be usur during Shemitah entirely. Now, you'll ask me, but if it's in the house, that's not a derech zriya. That's not, you don't normally plant in a house that's got a ceiling on top of it. It should be underneath the sun. But nevertheless, we don't allow zriya, because zriya, as we said during Shviz, is an absolute unconditional malach dorais. So let's say, for example, if you have a garden that's located underneath a house, you're not allowed to plant or work that garden. A lesson the limited way that we discussed earlier. Okay, I think we'll stop here for the time being, and I think we got a pretty good grasp of the basics. Again, there'll be nuances and complicated questions that'll always come up, and you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but I think we have at least a practical working definition of Shvius with regard to gardens, with regard to flower pots. There are still many other topics that we have to discuss in the future, but not now.